Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Happy Sabbath.
Yes.
It's good to be here, isn't it? I'm happy to be here this morning. So are you. I'm glad to hear it. That's two of us. Three, four. Four, that's all right. I'm happy with that. Where two or three are gathered, hey, that's all we need. I do love ordinances. It's a special day when we can take time to think about what God has done for us, and then enjoy a delicious lunch together out the back, which I could already smell as I was getting ready. And I said to Peter, we could go straight to the meal portion now if you'd like. You know, meals are important in modern times. I have very good memories of my birthdays when I was younger. And every birthday that I had, all of my family would come together and there would be a meal. I've got photos of when I was christened as a baby. There was a big meal afterwards. Every time we celebrated Christmas in my home, it would be accompanied by my mother slaving in the kitchen for hours and producing a truly epic meal that would sit on the table. And I just took that for granted. I'll admit it now. It's not until I started cooking my own Christmas meals and I thought, boy, Mum worked hard. Every time we would get together for a wedding, there is a massive meal. And you know what? Every time that we lay someone to rest, what do we have afterwards? A meal. Every important occasion of your life will inevitably have a table somewhere with food on it. Every single one. There's a reason for that. When we eat together, when we share this table together, it brings us closer. We are saying, I feel safe with you. I feel safe enough to eat with you. We are a family. I want you to come to Genesis 31 with me, please, because meals are just as important throughout history and especially in the Bible. And today, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we're commemorating a meal as well. So come to Genesis 31 with me, where Jacob and Laban have had some disputes. Jacob has fled from Laban. Laban pursues Jacob, and he catches up with them, and they have it out. And Jacob lays out his accusations, and they talk. And then in verse 43, Laban answered Jacob, "The women are my daughters, the children are my children, and the flocks are my flocks. All you see is mine, yet what can I do today about these daughters of mine or about the children they have borne? Come now, let's make a covenant, you and I, and let it serve as a witness between us." So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. He said to his relatives, "Gather some stones." So they took stones and piled them in a heap, and they ate there by the heap. And in verse 48, Laban said, "This heap is a witness between you and me today." That's why it was called Galeed. And I won't read all of it out, but this stone heap was as a witness. And down in verse 51, Laban said, "Here is this heap, and here is this pillar I have set up between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness that I will not go past this heap to your side to harm you, and that you will not go past this heap and pillar to my side to harm me. May the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us." So Jacob took an oath in the name of the fear of his father Isaac. He offered a sacrifice there in the hill country and invited his relatives to a meal. After they had eaten, they spent the night there. So here we see a covenant being created between Jacob and Laban. It involved a sacrifice, it involved stones, it involved, finally to seal it, a meal. A meal together with those that they had been disputing, a meal with his relatives. A meal was a part of a covenant, of setting up a covenant. And we see that again, not just done by people, but by God himself. Have a look at Exodus 24. Moses has been up in the mountain. God has been telling him his commandments and his rules for his people. And Exodus 24, Verse 1 said, "Then he said to Moses, 'Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. You are to worship at a distance, but Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him.'" So when Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people, and they responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said, we will obey." Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Some of this might be resonating for you with what we're here to do today. Read on. "Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank." So here we have it, the terms of the covenant, the sacrifice, the blood to cleanse them, and the meal in the presence of one who did have reason to be angry because of their sin, but who did not raise his hands against these leaders of the Israelites. The covenant was a sign now that there was peace between God and his people. Does that make sense? That's what the covenant does. It brings peace. So there are the basic elements. There's the terms. It's established with blood and it's sealed with a shared meal. It's an agreement between two parties where there's anger before it brought peace. That's what's happening here. God has saved his people from Egypt and he needs to reestablish his covenant with them, the covenant that he's established with Abraham. They all agree to the terms. The offering is made. And the leadership who represent the entire nation go up and eat with God. They don't get as close to God as Moses. They don't see God in quite the same way Moses does. I think there's probably a reason that they've only got a description of his feet. I don't think that's... they couldn't raise their eyes any higher, probably. So, Passover, which was a meal that reminded them of being saved from Egypt, is another form of that. There's blood to cover them, to cleanse them, and there's a meal to seal it. And so when we come to Jesus' time, where Jesus sits with his disciples on that final night, what he's doing is reestablishing a covenant that has existed since the start. The basic covenant terms are, God is saying, "I'm going to save you. Be my people, obey me." There's going to be blood, Jesus' own blood given. And there's a meal to reestablish this covenant. Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." It is the covenant that he is setting, the terms of it, forgiveness for our sins, established with his blood, sealed with a meal, the Lord's Supper. And what we do today remembers that covenant. And one day in heaven, we'll come together for the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he will dine with us, the supper of the Lamb. The covenant fulfilled in heaven. The ultimate fulfillment. Here's the thing. Jesus said, "I am the bread." Jesus is the covenant meal. Jesus is the reason for peace between God and us. Every time they celebrated a covenant meal throughout history, God was pointing them again forward to Jesus. Because Jesus is that meal. He said, I am the bread. This is my blood that's been given for you for the covenant. So when we meet today and we celebrate this meal, we're commemorating not only Jesus' death for us, but the fact that it brought peace between God and us. The fact that it reestablished the covenant that he's our God and we are his people. He is our covenant feast. He is our meal. He is what brings peace. Not only between us and God, but as we share this meal together, between ourselves. Jesus is what brings peace between us. So, I think that's astonishing that he would give himself like that. And it's humbling to take part in this service today, realizing that as we eat the bread and drink the grape juice, what Jesus has done for us. He was so humble that before any of this happened, he made sure they were clean and he washed their feet. He took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water in a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around them. And we're going to do that now. We're going to separate and wash our feet.